Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Steve.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
We are back. We're back for another edition of Tailgate on the Quad. Welcome back to this shit show. Karen, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear. Did you have a good, fun weekend? Good Halloween weekend?
I did, yeah. I went to a costume party. Was a murder mystery themed thing, like Clue, but real life. And I was the victim, so I died. That was fun.
That does sound fun.
This is going to go off topic real quick, but have you been to Spirit Halloween recently? Their costumes have gotten way better.
Like, yeah, I went. That's where I got my costume.
Like, legitimately, weirdly plugging Spirit Halloween right now, but actually really good costumes and feel made too. Sorry, that was just a random thought. How was your Halloween weekend?
It was great. I went to a Halloween party in Connecticut.
Fun.
Went as a fairy godmother in a very revealing corset.
That's what the people want.
Exactly. One person who I had met before said they had to leave after seeing me. One person saw me, started dying laughing. I had to go back in the bathroom because they were laughing so hard. And her boyfriend said, "Oh, I gotta give Kevin a hug when he's dressed like this." So
that's amazing.
Full gambit of reactions to my costume. You know what else got some strong reactions, Kiernan?
What?
The college football playoff rankings. The first ones came out. Unfortunately, we don't have the hilarity of the very first ever rankings. That was Mississippi State, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Florida State, I think, were the four.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in 10 years, we'll look back and find these rankings equally hilarious. But because this one, we have to go through all of it because they're all new.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this first. First off, the only service academy in these rankings, Air Force at 8-0.
Let's go. Massive.
Next up, you have Tulane at 7-1, Kansas State at 6-2, Oklahoma State at 6-2, and Kansas at 6-2. Kiernan, what are your thoughts on the first five?
I got to say, I am absolutely loving it because they're... I mean, yeah, they're long shots for the CFP, but the fact that those teams, I mean, OSU's definitely been there before, and Kansas State teeters on the edge of 25 all the time, but it's kind of weird to see Kansas and Air Force there specifically, and I think it's just a lot of fun, because now they have the momentum, they have the ranking, and it's like, all right, let's see how far you can take this. So I'm enjoying it.
That's true. Air Force actually has something in common with one of the top four teams that we'll get into when we get to which team it is. Next up, you got South Carolina or Southern California, excuse me.
Yeah, Jesus
Christ.
The fake
USC. The fake USC at 7-2 at number 20. UCLA at 19 at 6-2. Utah at 18 at 6-2. Tennessee at 6-2. And Oregon State at 6-2 as well. Man, Southern California, I'm going to keep calling them South Carolina. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Southern California really fell off a cliff because they can't fucking play defense. But I don't have any other strong reactions to anything here.
No, I mean, the USC fall from grace is just so funny because it's like, you know, they were so touted at the beginning of the season. They've got the number one quarterback, this, that, and the other thing. And it goes back to the old adage of offense wins games, defense wins championships. It's like the Pac-12 defenses are always bad. Right. That I don't think that's lost on anybody, but, you know, they're playing other bad defenses. So it didn't really matter when they're putting up 72 points. They only lose by two because there's been, you know, seven touchdowns. But the stark reality is that that's one of the teams that are moving on to the Big Ten and they aren't going to be able to cope. So
I cannot wait until their first game against Iowa.
Yes.
The unstoppable force meets the immovable object, and it's going to be awesome.
Oh, so excited.
Next up, you got Notre Dame at 15, LSU at 14, Louisville at 13, Mizzou at 12, Penn State at 11. Penn State's in their sweet spot, Kiernan. This is where they're the most dangerous. Ah. Actually, I would say they got to move down a little bit more because if they win, they're going to move up. They're going to want to stay in that 11 to 15 range.
Everyone around them just needs to have like really good or really bad games just to keep them neutral and they'll be perfect.
Unstoppable. It'll be like Purdue against a number two team on the road or at home. Yeah, at home. So I initially meant like with that team on the road, but I realized that didn't make sense.
I understood what you meant. I know what you meant, but yes, but you did need to clarify for
everyone. Yes, I felt the need to clarify. Next up, we're in the top 10. Ole Miss at number 10 at 7-1. Oklahoma, the team that Southern California stole all the players and coaches from, at number 9 at 7-1. Alabama at 8 at 7-1. Texas at 7 at 7-1. Oregon at 6, also at 7-1. And Washington at 5 at 8-0. I'm rooting for Alabama to win out in chaos. But also, I like how every year the committee's like, oh, we look at head-to-head records and then blatantly ignores head-to-head records.
Yes.
Like, look, Washington being above Oregon, okay, Washington beat Oregon in a tightly contested game.
Yes, fair.
Oklahoma beat Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas is two spots above Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I understand Oklahoma lost to unranked Kansas, but don't say how important head-to-head matchups are. Obviously, the Washington versus Oregon game mattered for the head-to-head matchup in these rankings, but if you flip the records and they hadn't played yet, Oregon would be ahead of Washington.
Yes.
Like, it's wild.
I don't understand the point of the hypocrisy too. Like if head to head matchups are so important and then you don't do it for a very simple one, which is Oklahoma and Texas, what's the point in doing it anywhere else? Like if you're not going to do it, then don't do it or don't make it a consideration because clearly it didn't matter in the first place or you would have done it.
It matters when it comes to getting the teams they want in.
Right.
If, let's say, Oklahoma and Washington both had a massive fan base, like they're popular over the country. I'm not knocking their fans, but they're not as big as an Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, and Notre Dame, what have you. It would matter in that instance if they wanted one or both of them to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you had an undefeated, say, Air Force beat Texas, just hypothetically, and they're both like close. Texas, say, doesn't go to the Big 12 championship. Air Force wins the Mountain West. Texas will get in. They don't give a fuck about any of that because Texas is a big name, big brand, so they want them in.
Right.
It's just put as many variables in, so if they ignore one or two, they can still point to other things.
I guess.
It's ridiculous, objectively.
But then, hold on. If that's the case, right? If you're just, you know, with insane variables, you'll obviously have, you know, one or two that go awry. Why have Alabama in the middle of them? Like, if they're all one-loss teams.
Because I think part of it is people would be pissed if Alabama was wicked high.
No, people would be nine. They're all one-loss teams.
No, they want Alabama in. They're hoping Alabama wins out so they can put Alabama in.
No, hold on. I understand that that's going to happen. It that's not important. But if that's the case, if they want the big names in, first of all, the jump can look more dramatic. And be like, oh, Alabama's back, and, you know, have that tirade go on. You could also say, oh, well, Oklahoma and Texas went head to head, so flip them as well. So it's basically you rotate the whole 7-8-9 and send them back, or send one up and two back. And there you go. Now you've fixed your own bracket.
Yeah, but also, to borrow a word from Chris Broussard. I'm not gonna say it. My girlfriend listens to this and she would yell at me. But the committee doesn't know it's called love and being happy for once. Also, I've realized something. We're gonna get off the college football playoffs for a second. So for my entire life, through my broken home adult life, single, no significant other, have an ass life. I have been firmly anti-Christmas music until after Thanksgiving.
Yes, the correct way.
I think there's a direct correlation between how happy you already are versus how early you will accept Christmas music. Because, Pat Kiernan, I'm jonesing for it.
Oh, God, you fucking softy.
I'm jonesing for it, Kiernan. My buddy put on his Instagram story today, Mariah Carey, all I want for Christmas is you. He's like, it's time.
I'm going to go burn his house down. That's
I was my like, response. I yelled at him. I'm like, dude, no. But probably not that song, but I need it. I need it.
You,
not
you
like,
disgust me.
Not like Rudolph. Or anything, not like, not Dominic the Donkey, which, by the way, people in other parts of the country have no idea what the fuck that is.
I found that out only when I moved to PA.
I found that out when I went to Alabama. I was like, oh yeah, you know, like those classic Christmas songs, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus Come to Town, Dominic the Donkey, and like, hold on, hold on. What is that last one? I was like, Rickety Ding, Eonk, Eonk, it's Dominic the Donkey. And they're like, no, that's not a song, Kevin. I'm like,
it is.
And I pulled it up on YouTube, like, we don't believe you. We think this is just a joke. You're playing the long game. It's like, no, that is 100% a Christmas song in at least Massachusetts. I'd assume the entire Northeast.
Yeah, I'd say it stops at about New York.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know where Italians are.
New York.
Well, I don't know where else.
New Jersey.
Yeah, so they got in New Jersey, probably.
Parts of Philadelphia.
Probably parts of Philly, too. Wherever there are Italians. If there's a large contingent of Italian-Americans...
They know the Dominic the Donkey song, yeah.
Yeah, it's like an Italian song. But also, like, you know, I'm not looking for those. I'm looking for, like, Bruce Springsteen's version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
No, I get that.
Christmas Time in Dixie by Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues. Like those kinds. Like the actual good songs that just happen to be Christmas songs. That's what I'm jonesing. I need right now.
Oh, the Christmas Time in New York by the Pogues. That one's the best.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. All right. Sorry. Back to college football.
Back to college football. All right, our top four. Number four, the Seminoles at 8-0. Number three, Michigan at 8-0. Number two, Georgia at 8-0. And number one, the Ohio State Buckeyes. I will say the out of respect for them being the number one team. I will not emphasize it.
Fair enough.
Karen, what are your thoughts on the top four?
Horseshit. Absolute horseshit. And it's not because that the front four haven't been winning all season, which they have. They all have 8-0 records. And it's not like they haven't been scoring points, which they all have. My issue is purely with Ohio State. And that's the only one I have issue with. And I don't even care that they're in the top four. I don't. I think they deserve to be in the top four. They beat us at Penn State, and they beat us, you know, I don't want to say fair and square, but, you know, they beat us. They beat us 20-12, and it was a very up and down game for every Penn State fan, and I'm fine with that. And I agree that they should be in the CF, the top four, but they should not, under any circumstances, be ranked number one. You cannot, and they're going to be, and the whole thing is right now is, oh, their resume is impressive. No, it isn't. Okay, you beat Penn State, fair enough. All right, that's a good competition. And you beat Notre Dame. Those are the two teams that you've actually beaten. The other ones are Maryland, Purdue, Western Kentucky, Youngstown, Indiana, Wisconsin, and they only beat Wisconsin by 14. I have no issue with any of those wins. My point is that if you look at Michigan's schedule, which is pretty much the same up until this point. Now, granted, they've played, they haven't played a Notre Dame, which I think is like, you know, what the CFP is going like, ooh, it's Notre Dame. They're the whatever, you know, high flying fighting Irish that always get ranked way higher than they deserve. But Notre Dame shot themselves in the foot. Like they would have, regardless of who they were playing. If they were playing Michigan, they would have done the same thing by putting 10 men on the field like idiots. I don't think that's a deserved win in Ohio State's favor. And the other thing is, Michigan has outscored, if you go points for, points against, Michigan has scored 65 more points than Ohio State, and they've let up 33 less points than Ohio State. Now, granted, The two schedules so far have been cakewalks, apart from the Penn State game for Ohio State and Michigan, and Michigan hasn't played Penn State yet. But just flip them or something, or put Georgia first because they're an SEC school. They're going to have a better record regardless of who they play. I don't know why this is a shocking thing.
I think this is a departure from how the College Football Playoff Committee has acted in the past. They've been, well, you've won before, so we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. We don't care how hard your schedule's been. And I don't like going by strength of record or ESPN Football Power Index because they had Alabama number one in the FPI after they lost to Texas. However, I think this is the committee saying, hey, if you are winning good against good competition, we are going to reward you versus if you're blowing out cupcakes. The Penn State win's a good win. The Notre Dame win, they're always overranked. That's a good win. Notre Dame is a good, maybe not great, but they're a good team. I think Maryland's a good team. Maryland's a much improved team.
They are.
The past couple years than they were in those like 3 to 4 year periods prior. I think this is the committee's way of saying, hey, you schedule or have actual games scheduled for you, we are going to reward you. And then they immediately ignore that because number two in the strength of record is Florida State, and they're number four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just more of the stupidity of the college football playoffs. Also, Alabama's still number four in strength of record.
Of course they are.
So it makes no fucking sense. It's dumb.
And I really shouldn't be so crass against Ohio State because when I – you know, on my rant there, I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, they have played Penn State and beaten them. And now I'm thinking, well, that's actually kind of fair because Michigan hasn't played Penn State yet. They'll play them in 2 weeks' time. And so therefore, like, it's not that neither of those teams don't usually win against Penn State. It's more that I think probably in fairness to Ohio State, they've beaten the one team that they needed to beat before they play Michigan. And Michigan hasn't done that yet, right? They've got Purdue. Michigan's got Purdue. I think it's at home versus Purdue at 7:30. And we all know night games with Purdue. But they're not ranked number two. Oh, playoff committee, fools. They should have ranked them number two and and made them play Purdue. But they haven't had the test of Penn State yet. And so I think that will be important for them to you know, make or break the CFP ranking, see who gets higher then.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm double checking something before I bring this up because I saw it, but I'm not sure how factual it is. So it might not be true. But what I saw was, and I don't think it is actually, I think Georgia's in the same boat. But Michigan and Air Force have something in common. It's they have not, neither of them have played anyone else in this top 25.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I'm not, Georgia might be the same, to be honest with you. I'm not seeing any UT, Martin, Ball State, South Carolina, UAB, Auburn, Kentucky, Vandy, Florida are the teams they've played. They're going to play Missouri this week. But yeah, so it's Georgia and Michigan have really just had easy schedules. And I think the committee's like, well, you're not Alabama, so we're going to punish you for that.
Yeah.
But
it's funny. I started out this rant with hating the Ohio State pick. And now I'm looking back on it. I'm like, actually, you know what? They probably do deserve it. And it's just the Penn State win mostly. I mean, yeah, the Notre Dame win counts as well. But like the Penn State game is the test for both of the teams. It I don't want to say it decides their fate in the CFP, but it also kind of does, because if you don't win that one, what's to say you beat Michigan or Ohio State, you know, vice versa. And then you're definitely out if you have two losses type thing. So that's interesting.
Yeah. If you don't win that one, you're kind of screwed when it comes to the Big Ten championship.
All right, fine. Then from now on, I hope that Penn State absolutely bitch slaps Michigan when they come play, because just to harp on the Jim Harbaugh sign stealing scandal, just going, ah, fuck it, let them lose.
Yeah. Speaking of Michigan and the sign stealing, should someone check on Michigan fans, because they're kind of going through it. From what you had sent me, Karen, the message board genius has posted.
Oh yeah.
Michigan fan, whatever needs to happen to get the good news rolling needs to start today. Enough of all this BS. If they're going to take us down, we're going to take that. We're taking all of college athletics with us. Time to start telling stories and naming names. Put up a fight. Look, Harbaugh gives me the vibes that nobody really likes him. He's just that kid who everyone's nice to. They don't really have any problems with him, but like, I'd rather not hang out with him. What names is he going to name?
Yeah, like he hasn't, the guy the message board gave no indication of who it might be. It's like, who do you know? Like, who is in that much shit that they're gonna, that your names is gonna be a problem?
I mean, if you ask Tennessee fans, every single loss is because Michigan was giving away their signs.
Oh,
they were scared
of
them. But yeah, so Michigan fans are kind of going through it right now. And, but there's some more news with that. There was an unnamed assistant on the Central Michigan sidelines a few weeks ago. Jim McElwain, head coach of CMU, said that whoever it was, they weren't supposed to be there. They didn't have any names associated with that person. People think it was Connor Stallions, and he had on sunglasses on a night game that had a weird blue light coming from the corner, which leads people to believe he was recording the Michigan State sidelines. Chippewas, what the fuck is with your security that some random dude could just show up on your sidelines? Like, look, if this ends up being a huge sign stealing scandal, which it is slowly becoming or quickly becoming, like, fine, but Central Michigan has some blame here.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's too funny of a story for that to I don't know if it's too funny of a story for it to be true or for it to not be true, because either way, it's absolutely hilarious. And it makes CMU look like the real idiots in this instead of Michigan or anybody who's had their sign stolen.
Yeah, it's not great. I'm honestly kind of surprised McWayne was like, no, he was supposed to be there, because it's so embarrassing that just a random person could show up.
Yeah, yeah.
But speaking of other people going through it, Dabo Swinney had some thoughts for a caller on his radio show. He was talking, Tyler in Spartanburg called and asked, why are you one of the highest paid coaches in college football to go 4-4? And Swinney responded, you're part of the problem. The appreciation, the expectation is greater than the appreciation. That's the problem. We've won 12, 10 plus win seasons in a row. That's happened three times in 150 years. Clemson ain't sniffing national championship for 35 years. We've won 2-7. And there's only two other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama. Is this a bad year? Yeah, and it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're thinking, all these narratives you read, listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want, and you can apply that for the job. And good luck to you. First off, it's nice to see Dabo take responsibility and not blame it on his quarterback.
Yeah.
But Kieran, what are your thoughts on those comments?
Well, they started out very poor, but arguably got better as it went on. I think that he owned up to it for the most part and said, you know, it's my responsibility and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. I didn't hear how he said it. So I don't know how much, you know, veracity there was behind the statement. He did. Okay. So, all right. Instead of like just going after people and telling them they're part of the problem and that they're bad fans, it's like, no, it's actually you're the problem. You are 100% the problem, and your play calling and your players suck. Okay. That's on you. Don't go after fans. They're just trying to enjoy the game. They asked you a question about why you're performing terribly, and you go after them for being a bad fan, and we need more losses to get rid of them. Like, what is this, the Purge? You know, this is college football. It's meant to be enjoyed by fans and things like that. Like, cool your jets. Jesus.
I can't believe I'm about to do this.
Ooh. Don't do it, Kev. Please.
No, I have to. I have to do it. Dabo Swinney is 150% right.
Oh, yeah.
They say a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. And goddamn Tyler from Spartanburg, you're a fucking dipshit. Oh, why are you the highest paid coach to go 4-4? Well, probably because he brought your shit program back to national relevance. Oh, Clemson with their one national championship in 1980 now has three. It's ridiculous. And he has a point with the expectation surpassing appreciation. Like, it sucks. That's what happens when you win. But Dabo's right. He deserves to be that highly paid, or based on past success. Now, if it keeps going this way, yeah, he should be fired. But for right now, like, there is a very obvious answer to why he's so highly paid. So I just defended Dabo and Ohio State in one podcast. I feel physically ill.
Yeah, it must suck.
Yeah. No, like, my stomach actually just
started. I am going to pre-dial 9-1 just in case you fall off your chair as it missed a heart attack and I need to call somebody.
Fair. Speaking of things that make me sick, Shiloh Sanders was ejected for tackling this week. Kieran, did you see the hit?
Oh, yeah.
What were your thoughts?
It was a big fucking hit, and that's it. Guy got popped. I don't know what you want to say. It didn't hit his head, at least not from the angles I saw it at. Got hit at full speed. Yeah, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna knock the wind out of it, probably. Maybe a little bit of whiplash. You might have had a concussion when your head hit the ground, sure. But it's not an ejectable offense. That's just a hit in college football. Like, I understand player safety. I get that, right? You want to limit targets to the head or hits to the head. Understandable. I have no issue with it. sometimes it gets a little extreme, whatever. But for the most part, it's fine. That was not an illegal hit. You just hit him hard. That's it. And I'm so fucking annoying.
I think throwing the flag on the hit was justified. Mm-hmm. I think after watching the... So my issue is, the conversation comes down to, was it targeting by the rule? Or was it not anywhere close to anything? By the rule... He led with the crown of his helmet. Now, the crown of his helmet didn't hit the UCLA player's body at all. Mm-hmm. He didn't hit the UCLA player's head, but he led with the crown of the helmet in the tackle. And this just comes back to the targeting rule is fucking stupid as yes. written. I'm not defending the targeting rule. I'm saying the refs were in a hard spot. I think it could have gone either way, and they went one way. It's fucking stupid. We might as well just put flags on everyone and have them play flag football.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel for those refs, it kind of sucks, but it was technically targeting.
Based on the rule of targeting. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kevin. That's where I have to draw the line there. There is the rule, and then there is the understanding of the rule. If it's lead with the crown of your helmet, that would imply that you are taking a tackle and you are physically hitting them with the top of your head. That is not what happened. Lead every tackle, you have to lead with the crown of your head because you have to put your head first. It's the first thing that's going to the side of the player on either whenever you tackle him. That is leading with the crown of your head. No, that's not what the law meant. Is it written poorly? Sure. Does it need to be defined a little bit more? Yes. But the refs should know that that was not targeting.
Well, now we're going to get into a philosophical debate about the written of the letter of the law or the general what the law meant. I personally don't want refs going with what they think the law means. I would rather have them just follow the letter of the law because one week you're going to have a ref who is like, oh, that's targeting. Like, we're going to eject him. And then the next week, you're going to have a ref who a guy will take the crown of his helmet and just launch it into a guy's face mask. And he'll go, nah, that's not targeting.
No. Hold on. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have that. I'm simply saying that that should have been the assumption across refereeing. And it should have been made as a personal choice. It should have been made as saying, okay, this is what it says, and this is what it means. And I don't think that that's a ridiculous stance to take, frankly.
I'm not saying that the rule makes sense. I'm not saying that it's written well. I'm saying the refs had a choice to make. Was it the wrong choice? Yes. But the rule's dumb, fucking stupid anyway. Like, it's always messed up. They maybe get one out of every five targeting calls correct.
Mm-hmm.
One way or the other, honestly. But it's fucking stupid. It's not football. For once in my life, I am, on this podcast, I have defended Ohio State, Dabo Sweeney, and the fucking referees. Sorry. Hate what this has done to me.
That's it. I'm calling the asylum. You're clearly deranged.
Jesus Christ. Like, I feel bad for the refs because they're in such a hard place enforcing such a dumb fucking rule. It's like prohibition.
Kevin, this relationship
dumbest changed you. Fucking law on the face of, hey, you can't drink. And then, well, why is everyone drinking? Probably because when you make something legal, it's more likely to happen. And it's impossible. It's hard to fucking track. Like, it's ridiculous. The fucking targeting rules are so stupid in college football. I fucking hate it.
So dumb. Oh, here's how we can fix it, right? Here's how we can fix it. We tell all of the college football fans to rewrite the targeting rule and say it has to be about targeting. It has to be a hit to the head, you know, put in parameters, right, of what the rule must state. Take all of those responses and AI the shit out of it and just basically... The keywords that keep popping up the AI will recognize it and generate a law. And then you just grammatically alter a, you know, parentheses or, you know, a verbiage change there. And then that will be the law.
I sort of agree with that, but I think enough people are stupid that they would 100%. You would get 5 million responses, and like 200,000 of them were like, you got to hit them in the dick every time. And yeah. then that would no, somehow be involved.
Yeah, just so the final word is just dick. No, but you'd obviously, you know, the AI would obviously be able to filter out the most common or the least common responses and get rid of them. So you know what I meant. But yes, that would be, yeah, hit him with the dick. Grab his dick and twist it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the rule would be. I think targeting should be pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Forcible contact to the head of an upright player. Because I think if someone's going down and you're tackling and then they move and duck down and then you hit them, then you shouldn't be kicked out of the game for that. You can still get a penalty for it, but I don't think you should be kicked out of the game because you are not psychic and don't know what the offensive player is going to do.
Agreed.
And also, I think if you're a defensive player leading with the crown of your helmet, hitting a guy in the chest, it's your own fault. Like, it's your own fault. You're scrambling your brains. You're going to be tweeting about child support and showing your dick off to people at a fucking spa like Antonio Brown in 20 years. Like, it's not, it's ridiculous. There's so many better ways to do it. They have fucking lawyers working for them who can write however they want. The problem is, lawyers definitely wrote this law. They wrote this rule because it makes no fucking sense. And they can't turn off their lawyer brain. They have to prove to everyone that they're smarter, the smartest person in the fucking room. So they write the most confusing shit, and it's ridiculous. The targeting rule has, I don't want to say single-handedly ruined college football because I don't think it's ruining. There's a lot of people to blame for this current state of college football, ESPN. But it's made the game a lot less enjoyable. It slows the game down because you got to fucking throw the flag. This player is, like, there's penalties for targeting. Now we're going to take fucking 20 minutes to review it. And then still make the wrong call 80% of the time.
And that's the thing. That's, I think, what pisses fans off more about the targeting call is not that the call was made. It's that they saw the screen and then objectively got it wrong. And I think that's arguably the most infuriating thing about it. If you called it because it was fast paced movement and some guy cutting over the middle of the field and, you know, safety hit him. Yeah. Okay. Your gut reaction is like, I'm pretty sure I saw targeting. I'll call it. Oh, actually, I'm mistaken. Pick up the flag or whatever, right? And honestly, that would make the game 100% better. Now, do you need 20 minutes to review it? Absolutely not. You need 4 or 5 camera angles at most. But and then actually make the right call. Don't just go off of, you know, oh, I think it might be. So, ejection. Dumb.
Yeah. They should have one ref whose job it is just to watch targeting plays. Like, that's all their job is. The minute the targeting flag comes out, they're already watching the replay.
Maybe, yeah. That might do. That might work.
That'll cut down on time, and then they don't have to worry about anything else.
It's like a VAR check mid-game in soccer.
Exactly.
Which has its own problems. I'm not going to bring up here.
Say, a lot of people are pissed about VAR.
Yeah, they are, understandably.
Yeah, another thing, just that's fucking stupid. It doesn't work and should never have been implemented in the first place. But moving on to other things that make me sick. The Iowa offense, Brian Ferentz, is not expected to be back next year as the Iowa offensive coordinator. Not surprising. He had it 25 a game. Couldn't do it. The short list right now for offensive coordinators for Iowa next year are James Ferentz, Stephen Ferentz, Kelly Ferentz, and Joanne Ferentz. So watch their names in the news. But I did not come up with that joke. It's all over Twitter. But Kieran, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, you can't put up points on the board and you can't, you know, win a considerable number of games. Like, yeah, it's time for a change. Like, if it was anybody else, that decision would have been made a year ago or 2 years ago, yeah, maybe. But because it's the son, it's like, oh, well, I don't want to make him feel bad. It's like, he's a grown man. I'm sure he'll get over it. And I don't know if they, you know, wanted to avoid the weird Thanksgiving conversation that we were talking about 2 weeks ago or whatever. But, you know, it's why wait is my point. It's like, yeah, Thanksgiving's going to be awkward, but you know what's going to be worse is if you're still with this fucker in December and you know, you have to play somebody in the Big Ten West.
If you're both unemployed.
Oh, yeah, that'd be worse.
Are we sure he's a grown man? He has a bad case of baby face.
He does. I mean, okay, yes, but like age-wise.
That's fair. But also, I think this makes it look worse, too, that this year, nobody in the Big Ten West is averaging 25 points a game.
Oh, yeah, it's really
not a single offense. I think 22 is like the highest.
Mm-hmm.
So it was time, though. He had to go.
Yeah, 100%. But
all right, Kieran, you want to talk about the most interesting stat in college football? I'm very curious.
The most interesting stat in college football, and I'm not going to say it's late to the party. I just found it so fun and I wanted to talk about it. But Bryson Barnes of the Utah Utes grew up raising approximately 12,000 pigs. Now that in and of itself, great statistic. Love the statistic. It's a stupid little thing that they've put up. But just under it, it says most in the FBS, which implies something that in the FCS, there's somebody who's raised more.
I didn't even think of that when I saw it.
It's like 12,000 pigs. Great. Not as many as somebody from fucking JMU or something. I just
hey, found JMU is an FBS team. Oh, you show them the respect they deserve.
Excuse me. Former FCS. But I just found that absolutely hilarious because that's what it implies. It's like most of the FBS, that's great. So who else is raising that many pigs?
Yeah. How pissed is he going to be if that one person with more in FCS transfers to an FCS team?
Oh,
or an FBS team.
Devastating.
He'd be heartbroken.
He would be.
That is a good stat.
It's a great stat.
Yep. Yeah, I think he should be in the college football playoffs. Just him. Him and all his pigs.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a pork joke or something right now, but I'm failing to come up with one.
That's fair. All right. Well, Kiernan, I didn't put this on the topic list, but I do want to talk about something real quick, unless you wanted to end on the...
No. Go on.
It is still... We're within a day of Halloween, so it's still spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for our listeners. Anyone in the South, anyone from Georgia can answer this. Why do y'all keep going to Lake Lanier? I was listening to a podcast about this earlier. Kiernan, I know you're giving me a look right now. For anyone not from, like, around Georgia, I'm not, but for anyone who hasn't spent extended time around there, Lake Lanier is the largest or, like, most visited lake in Georgia, 11 million people a year annually. People keep fucking dying when they go to that lake.
Oh, my God.
Like,
do they really? Like, what's happening? Are they drowning?
Yeah, like, I think 38 drownings this year.
Just this year?
Yeah.
It's not one or two?
700 people have died there since the 50s. And like every year there's stories about like one guy this year slipped on a dock and went in the water, drowned. There's reports of like a ghostly figure grabbing people from underneath. So Lake Lanier used to be a town.
Okay.
And a lot of racism's happened.
Okay.
And they decided, you know what? We're just going to flood it. It's a lake now. And made a man-made lake. People, and they didn't, like, remove anything. There's houses mm-hmm. down there still.
Yeah.
Some women in the 50s crashed in there. They found one body. Didn't have any hands. That's the ghostly lady who's grabbing people, apparently. And then they didn't find the other woman in the car until, like, the 90s, I think. And they crashed in the 50s. Why do y'all keep going to Lake Lanier?
Yeah, seriously, that's spooky as hell.
Like, why? Even outside of the ghostly shit, people are dying. It's clearly not safe. And there's another lake, Lake Altoona, I think, which is wicked close, that has 7% fewer visitors, but 50% fewer deaths. So there's clearly something
fewer or more?
Fewer. 7% fewer people visit it, which is still an absurd amount.
Yeah.
And 50% fewer deaths.
Okay, so there is something in Lake Lanier.
Yeah, what is going on in Lake Lanier? Anyone, please fucking answer that question for me. Not necessarily what's going on, just why are y'all still going?
It's wild.
It's insane. And I had heard about Lake Lanier in the past, but a podcast I was listening to today was talking about it, and it was just, I couldn't think of anything else. Like, I was eating my dinner thinking about Lake Lanier and why people still go there. So I had to talk to someone about it.
Well, I mean, it's something you learn something new every day, and apparently there's a lot of deaths at Lake Lanier. Now I know.
So now, Kiernan, if you're ever going to Georgia and someone's like, hey, we're going to Lake Lanier, you know, to say, nah, I'll just hit the Coca-Cola factory instead, or I'll just go to a Georgia.
Literally anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would much rather do literally anything else than go to Lake Lanier.
Good Lord. That's wild.
So
there's your spooky season part of the podcast. Nailed it.
A day late.
That's All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, fair.
All Saints Day. But, there you go.
True. But today's episode is brought to you by Yeats. I'm sure they're going to love us talking about them right after Lake Lanier. Head over to yeatsofficial.com, promo code tailgate for 10% off your order. They're great sunglasses. I cannot say enough good things about them. And it's not because they're our only sponsor. But I still love the product. They're still great sunglasses. I traded a car in and left my favorite pair in there. And I'm pissed because they've been sold out forever. But yeah, so head over to yeatsofficial.com, promo code tailgate, 10% off. The great sunglasses. All right, everyone have a good, safe, fun rest of the week, your weekend. Stay the fuck away from Lake Lanier. And we'll see y'all next week, except those who ignore my warning and go to Lake Lanier. Have fun with the handless ghost lady, I guess. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandal, so they hired someone who killed Stu.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.